you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. I was struck about a week ago in reading an AP poll of Americans and where they said they were at financially, that 55% of respondents in that AP national poll said they were in about the same place financially as they had been at the start of the pandemic. 30% said that they were better off financially than they were at the start of the pandemic, and only 15% said that they were worse off financially than at the start of the pandemic. I was rather shocked because I think so many of us know people who've been furloughed, who've had their hours cut, who haven't been able to continue with their jobs and have paid a heavy economic price as a result of that. So I was wondering, what are we seeing here in Southern California, not just economically, but in a wide range of different senses of quality of life, given that we are 14 months into this pandemic that has changed everything? And appropriately enough, the Luskin Center at UCLA has conducted its recent survey on quality of life here in Southern California. Joining us is director of the Los Angeles Initiative at UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs, former LA County Supervisor, former LA City Council member, Zev Yaroslavsky. Zev, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good to be with you.
Were you surprised when you saw that AP poll that showed only 15% of Americans said they were financially worse off?
I was, and I think most of us would have been surprised. In Los Angeles, it's a little worse. And what it exposed in our survey was the two Los Angeleses that we have. Those people who didn't suffer economically did very well. They regard their quality of life much higher than those who did suffer economically. About 22% of our county residents say that their income went down a lot, and 18% said their income went down somewhat. And so 40% lost income.
Wow.
18% of our people, of our respondents in the county, and this is a countywide survey, say they lost their job at some point during the course of the year. How many of them have gotten their jobs back at this point, we don't know. But the other factor was that 45% said that their income did not go down. It stayed the same. And 11% of county residents say their income went up a lot. Went up, not necessarily a lot, but went up. What this exposed, and I think Fernando Guerra, who is going to be on the call, his surveys have shown the same kind of thing. And we have two economies here in Los Angeles. We basically have two LAs. You have those people who feel like they're doing well, they can get ahead, the system is fair to them, and then you have a percentage of the population who, and it's a majority, who believe that in LA the rich get richer and the average guy can't get ahead. The interesting thing about the 11% whose income went up, they were disproportionately already rich or affluent. The single biggest demographic where income went up were among people who make more than $150,000 a year.
Well, I would assume a lot of it too is stock market money, right? So it's people who saw their portfolios dramatically increase as the market boomed.
Well, it may be, but we asked the question of income, not investment income.
Okay.
And if you sold your stock in the surge of the stock market, then you did very well. But generally speaking, I think people who were already making an affluent person's salary stood to have a better chance of actually having their income increase. But the bottom line is that 40% of the people saw their income go down. 22% said that went down a lot. And those are the people who really took a hit during this pandemic. The interesting thing our survey showed is there's a whole body of our population that didn't suffer from the pandemic in an existential way. Of course, they were inconvenienced. They were home with the kids. They were one thing or another, but they weren't tossed out of their home. They didn't have a problem paying their rent. They had their job or they had their income, but 22% had an existential. And those are the people who rate their quality of life far lower than the rest of the population.
Zev, do we know what percentage of those are individuals who, you know, had to stay home to take care of kids because of the child care issue and couldn't do their jobs remotely? What percent saw the sectors in which they work just dry up, like tourism and hospitality? Do we have a breakout of that?
Yeah, we do, and there are a lot of breakdowns on this. But the constant theme is that if your income went down, especially if it went down a lot, you tended to be someone who was expendable to the economy. You worked in a hotel. You worked in a restaurant. You worked somewhere where the shutdown impacted you completely, and those are the folks. Those 22% who say their income went down a lot are likely to be non-college graduates, younger women, younger whites, people living in households that make less than $60,000 a year in income. They're more likely to be renters, and they're more likely to be people who are falling behind on their rent and have been threatened with eviction. They're more likely to say that their kids were substantially harmed by distance learning. They're also more likely to be people who have kids at home, like you said. They're more likely to believe that the government's response to the pandemic has been unfair, and unfair to them in particular. And they're more likely to believe that LA is a place where the rich get richer and that the average person can't get ahead. Those are the people who really took a hit. So basically in Los Angeles, the pandemic didn't impact in an existential way the majority of our population, but nearly a quarter of our population was severely hit. And another 18% of our population was moderately hit. Lost income.
And Zev, I also want to stress, you just touched on this, 76% of parents with children of school age say that their kids have been substantially hurt, either academically or socially, by the distance learning and quarantine experiences that the pandemic brought to them. Zev Yaroslavsky is director of the LA Initiative of the UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs. Also with us, Fernando Guerra, professor of political science and Chicano Latino studies at Loyola Marymount University, where he directs LMU's Center for the Study of Los Angeles. He's also emeritus board member of Southern California Public Radio's Board of Trustees. Fernando, good to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
So can you elaborate a bit based on what the Center for the Study of LA's survey has been about, how Angelenos have gone through this?
Oh, absolutely. Just a couple of major points. Number one, completely agree with everything that Sev said. We basically found almost exactly the same thing. And number one is this inequality. It is just rampant in Los Angeles, and we are developing a two-tier society. Second, the census just came out. The county basically didn't grow in population. The ethnic equilibrium stayed about the same, meaning the percentage of Latinos, whites, blacks, and Asians. But inequality tremendously increased when we finally take a good look at the numbers. Number three is our survey at Loyola Marymount University and the UCLA survey. No other city or county has access to two general social service surveys like this. The region is incredibly fortunate to have this information. The fact that UCLA does a survey so greatly improves and makes our findings even more significant, because they almost parallel what UCLA has asked, but even when we ask the question differently. So for instance, in the UCLA survey that Zev directed, 40% of Angelenos in the county said they lost income. We asked the question, what has happened to someone in your household, whether you had your wages, benefits, or hours reduced? It was 43%. And we can continue to go down the line, and we reinforce each other's answers, even though we ask them differently and have the surveys done about a month to 2 months apart. And this really gives decision makers, analysts, data that they need to use and supplement in terms of other objective data. Our data is more subjective, but when you use it in combination, it gives government, nonprofits, and corporations a lot of data that they could use in terms of responding not only to the pandemic, but the inequality and all the other issues that Los Angeles faces.
Fernando, I wanted to ask you about a finding from the Luskin UCLA survey that was interesting. About two-thirds of younger white residents believe, as Zeb was saying, the L.A. area is a place where the rich get richer and the average person cannot get ahead. But a strikingly lower, still a majority, but much lower, 55% of younger Latinos hold that view. And I was wondering if you have a theory for why that might be the case.
Again, we have very consistent information. Latinos generally are much more optimistic about the future of Los Angeles and their own future. Because they start at a certain perspective, they see the possibility of growth. Many of them are children of immigrants, and they see Los Angeles is still seen as a land of opportunity, even though the objective data says otherwise. Whereas whites, especially young whites, understand and compare themselves to their parents, and they see less opportunities than their parents have, whereas young Latinos see having more opportunities than their parents.
We're talking with Fernando Guerra, who directs the Center for the Study of Los Angeles at Loyola Marymount University's Professor of Political Science and Chicano Latino Studies. Also with us, John Husing, who is Inland Empire economist and vice president of Economics and Politics, Inc. John, it's good to have you with us again on the program. I wonder what your research into the Inland Empire economy shows about the pandemic effect.
Larry, for us, a lot of it has to do with the fact of migration from the coastal counties to the inland counties, largely driven by the need to find affordable housing. And as a result of that, it has tended to give us a population that is folks that are marginally educated and tend to work in the lower income jobs as a percent of population. 45% of the Inland Empire's population is high school or less in terms of their education, which has really put a stamp on what kinds of jobs we can create out here based upon the existing labor force. When you look at what happened with the downturn and the pandemic, 84% of the job losses were in hotel, amusement, retail, consumer services, eating and drinking. All of those sectors pay on an annual average under $40,000. And so, as was found in the two surveys, this really is hurting the distribution of income within the area. So the people who work at the bottom were abnormally laid off and hurt. And undoubtedly, that has exacerbated the inequality in the income distribution.
I was wondering with the Inland Empire, though, if you have a higher percentage of warehouse jobs, of delivery jobs, things like that, which have actually grown during the course of the pandemic. Are those numbers sufficient enough to have any sort of mitigating effect on the hit that lower-income Inland Empire residents have taken?
Well, as an example, in the retailing field, people tend to make around $12, $14 an hour. In the warehousing and distribution sectors, you're absolutely right. They've exploded. Last year, while the economy was declining by a total of 65,500 jobs, the warehousing and distribution and wholesale trade sectors added 21,100 jobs. There are two reasons for that. The first one is that the switch from buying at the store to buying online really favored the Inland Empire because most of the e-commerce facilities are located out here. And a company like Amazon pays a minimum of $15 an hour, and then it goes up from there and also has pretty good benefits. So that's been a strange and unexpected advantage for us in this particular time.
You have so many people commuting to coastal areas to work from the Inland Empire. When offices, start reopening more and more retail and the like, do you anticipate that the pattern is going to get back to where it was? Or do you think we've seen some lasting change to where fewer Inland Empire residents are going to be willing to do those commutes?
I think undoubtedly it will be reduced, in part because people have gotten used, those that work at offices, of working online. And it's going to be pretty tough to convince people to stop doing that because you lose the necessity of commuting. And one of the things we are seeing is in our office market, increasing vacancies as companies consolidate back into the coastal counties. And I assume that they're going to have trouble convincing their workforce they want to commute when they've gotten used to commuting online.
We're talking with John Husing, who's Inland Empire economist and vice president of the firm Economics and Politics. Also with us, Zev Yaroslavsky, UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs, where he directs the Los Angeles Initiative, and Professor Fernando Guerra of Loyola Marymount University, who directs the Center for the Study of Los Angeles. Fernando, I was wondering your thoughts about, hearing John talk about how the Inland Empire has really become the place where many former L.A. and Orange County residents have moved because of affordable housing, at least comparatively affordable. From what you've seen in your surveys, do you think that trend is going to continue, particularly with younger residents who feel they just can't afford to stay in L.A. County?
It has that potential, especially the working from home. We asked questions about what would be your preference for future work once the pandemic is over. 14% said they exclusively wanted to work from their workplace, 15% mostly from the workplace, but 25% said they wanted half-time workplace or home, and 18% said mostly from home, and a whopping 13% from home. That has the potential to change residential patterns and mobility patterns. And so, yes, there is that potential. You're going to have to see policies that I think will help develop that, and it certainly will have an impact on commercial office rents and that kind of development.
Zev, as a former office holder for decades in Los Angeles County, what are the policy implications of the findings of your survey at Luskin?
Well, there are many, and as those of us who toil in these vineyards know, that this is like a genealogy search. Once you start going through all of the permutations and the cross tabulations of the demographics, all kinds of stories come out. But there are two I'll single out. First, I think any public official, they're already onto this in the public sector, but this crystallizes it. The focus needs to be on those 22% who have taken a huge economic hit and the 18% who have taken a modest economic hit. Those are the people who are pessimistic. Those are the people who are threatened with losing their apartments because they can't make their rent payment at the end of the month. These are the most vulnerable people among us, and that's where the focus of the public sector's attention needs to be. I think the Biden administration is onto that as well, and it's something we need to look at. I want to give you an idea of how dramatic this difference is. The people who believe that LA is a place where the rich get richer and the average guy can't get ahead rated their overall quality of life at a 53. On a scale of 10 to 100, they rated it a 53. The overall rating that the entire survey got from all respondents was 58, slightly above the midpoint. These folks rated their quality of life at 53. But the people who believe that this place is a place where you can get ahead if you work hard, you dream big, they rated their quality of life at 65. So imagine if you just increase the optimism, the opportunity quotient for the people who have been hit hard, the overall quality of life as seen by the residents of LA County would go up. The second thing.
Yeah, real briefly, Zev.
I'll make it very brief. It's the question you asked, Fernando. Many of the businesses that lease office space are now downsizing. I know major law firms that are going to cut 50 to 60% of their space. That's going to have huge implications for land use. What do you do with that empty office space? Can you repurpose it for housing, for example? That's an issue that the state and local government is going to have to consider. Our survey mimicked the LMU survey results on where people want to work. Most people do not want to go back to work full time at the place where they worked. Some people want to work at home 100% of the time. Most people want to work, part
hybrid. Yeah.
Part of the time at their office, so or at their place of work. Some people don't have that choice, and those are the people who are among those people who are in that 22% who took a big.
All right, I want to thank Zev Yaroslavsky, who directs the LA Initiative at the UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs, Fernando Guerra, professor of political science and Chicano Latino studies at Loyola Marymount University, where he directs LMU's Center for the Study of Los Angeles. And our thanks to Inland Empire-based economist John Husing. Coming up, we'll talk about the terrible findings from a survey of the ocean floor between Catalina Island and the mainland of Los Angeles County. It's a very stark finding. We'll detail it coming up in 1 minute on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.